Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Good to see all of you this morning. It's a great crowd today. Good to see all of you here. And pray that you've had a wonderful time of worship so far. Praise the Lord for His presence in the music. And it's a joy to be here on this beautiful, beautiful day that God has given us. Amen. And so I'm just excited about what the Lord's got in store. Today, the message the Lord has given me is, how is your run going? Now, you're probably going to say, Lord, I don't run. So we're going to talk about that this morning just a little bit. You know, before I share that, Jesus taught that it takes a childlike faith to enter the gates of heaven. So I found these things someone sent to me this week, and I thought they were quite sweet and precious, and some great examples of childlike thinking. They just don't see things the same way we do. And praise the Lord for that, amen? And so here's just a couple of quick examples. On nudity, now you think, oh my God, he's going to... Listen, I was driving with three young children one warm summer evening when a woman in a convertible stood up and waved, and she was stark naked, didn't have on a rag. And I was shocked, and I heard my five-year-old shout from the back seat, Mom, that lady's not wearing a seatbelt. See, I mean, they just don't see things the same way we do. Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, a police report. He said, it was the end of my day. I parked my police van out in front of the station. I was gathering my equipment, and my canine partner, Jake, was barking from the back. And a little boy walking by, he stood at my canine unit. He says, is that a dog you got in the back of there? He said, it sure is. And puzzled, the little boy looked at me and then towards the back of the van, and he finally said, what did he do? So they just see things differently. These just keep getting better, let me tell you. On the elderly, while I was working for an organization that delivers lunches to the elderly, Meals on Wheels, if you will, I used to take my four-year-old daughter with me on the afternoon rounds, and she was unfailed to always ask me all kinds of questions about the elderly and the problems with getting older as far as canes and walkers and wheelchairs. Well, one day I saw her staring at a pair of false teeth sitting in a glass, and I braced myself for the questions that were about to come when she simply said, the tooth fairy will never believe this. So, that's just great, isn't it? One little girl just finished her very first week of school, and she said, you know, Mom, I'm wasting my time. She said, why is that, dear? She said, I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk. So, I mean... And this is the last one. Little boy, he was thumbing through the family Bible, one of those large table Bibles. He's looking through it, and he was fascinated with all the old pages and pictures and things that he found when something fell out on the floor. And he picked it up, and he realized it was an old leaf that had been pressed between the pages for many years. And he said, Mom, look what I found. And she said, what have you got? He said, I think I've got Adam's underwear. So, praise the Lord. They just don't see things quite like we do. Isn't that great? Praise God. Oh, man. How is your run going? We've got three scriptures we're basing this passage out of, the sermon out of today. The first one being 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. We hear the words of Paul as he reads and writes here. He says, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. We move over to Philippians in the third chapter. And again, we hear the words of Paul. He says, brethren, I count myself not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And lastly, in the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed also with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, that we could praise you today. Thank you so much, Lord, that we could laugh. Thank you so much we could sing wonderful songs, Lord. You are the reason we're here today. Lord, we just lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up every person in here today that has a need. Everyone who has come today, Lord, for spiritual fulfillment. Everyone today, Lord, that maybe has come here and is lost, Lord, and needs to hear this gospel message. Father, I pray, Lord, that we who are believers, we who are running the race today, Lord, we're running it well. But may we see today the successful components we need, Lord, to make that work. May you just anoint this, Lord. May you use this servant today, Lord. Empty me as I humble myself before you, Lord. As these words, Lord, prepared by this servant's hand, Lord, by the influence and indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, may your Spirit fill me today. That these messages, Lord, these words would depart and touch the hearts and lives of everyone who is here. And we'll thank you for what you do. We give this to you and we ask you to watch over us and keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, again, you may be thinking this morning, Pastor, I don't run. Well, to be quite honest with you, neither do I. I made a conclusion many, many years ago, that something had to be a whole lot bigger than me for me to run. I don't run. When I was on the road, we used to have to chase after people and run after people all the time. So my fondness of running is not a great one. But that's not exactly what we're going to talk about today. We're not talking about physical being in a foot race or what have you. I want us to look, as we look through the Bible and we see these many passages, it compares our life, our Christian life, the life of a believer, if you will, to that of a race. Every year that goes by, every day that goes by, in fact, we are going in that race. We are making another stride, if we will. We're running another leg of the journey. And each year and each day that goes by brings us a little bit closer to the goal, to the finish line, if you will. When people are in an actual race, a true contest, a marathon, they have a great desire to win. Most of the people in there have some type of desire to win. They want to be the first one to cross the line. They want to be the one to get the trophy. Us as believers, the followers of Jesus Christ today, when we are in the race of life, or we are living and running through this race as that believer, what do we need? What do we need in order to win? You see, the athlete needs certain things. They need conditioning and they need endurance and they need all these different things. What do we as believers, what do we need to secure the victory in this race that we are running? I want us to look at three specific things this morning. And that not only while we run this race that we run it well, but that we shall win. That's what the Lord's laid on my heart today. First, we need discipline. Discipline. Now we look back at this original text in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27 as Paul writes, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now here, Paul is speaking here of discipline. He is talking about making sure that everything that he does is all that he can possibly do. It's not just a half-hearted effort. It's the whole thing. He wants to share the truth of the gospel in the most effective way possible. He wants to reach everybody that he can in a way that's going to change their life. He wants to help them. He wants to encourage them. And he's saying here, and if I don't do it at my all, with my all, at my very, very best, with everything that I've got, then I should be cast away. In other words, what he's saying is, if I don't give it everything, then I'm not doing my job. I'm doing it no good. I'm not doing you any good. As I share from my heart, I want to give it everything that I've got. And that takes discipline. Discipline to be the best possible effort that can be given. That is what God is calling us to do as believers, to not half-heartedly do anything, to not, you know, kind of nonchalantly or just kind of lackadaisical. No, he wants us to give it all because, didn't he? He gave it all. And that's what he's asking of us. You see, we hear of special things like special forces or the Navy SEALs or astronauts or submarine officers, all these different ones. They are said to be the very best. They are said to have the right stuff. They are chosen carefully. They go through rigorous and difficult training. They become very, very disciplined people. Very disciplined people. But believers and followers of Christ, we also must be disciplined. Because half the things that the Lord asks of us are completely opposite of what we normally would do. Completely opposite. It takes discipline to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to submit my life to you. I'm not going to be in charge anymore. We should have a devotional life, a disciplined devotional life. Ask yourself this question. Do I spend time daily in the Word? Do I? Do I take time to learn more? Am I making every effort to grow closer to Him? Or do I just wait to get my hour on Sunday morning? It's a tough question, but we got to think about that. Do we make time? Do we set time aside and make Him a part of our daily life? That takes discipline. Because it's something we have to have. We need it. This is important. This is important because we know. We know what goes on around us. We know that we are in need of great help. But how is it that we grow closer if we don't spend time with Him? How is it that we know what's in His Word if we don't read it? That's the only way you know what's in anything is if we take time to learn more. We gain great strength from a disciplined devotional life. Tremendous strength. Because then we begin to learn to lean not on our own understanding. You see, we get back to the Word there. We get to understand, I've got to have more than just what I know. I've got to be able to turn to the Word. We also need a discipline in what we think. You think, well, what difference does that make? Oh, it makes a tremendous amount of difference. What thoughts occupy your mind? What thoughts fill your mind? Is it worldly things or is it godly things? Is it encouraging and uplifting things or is it depressing and unproductive things? What we allow to fill our minds will ultimately show in our life. That's a fact. What we allow to saturate in our minds and in our lives will show as time goes by. It takes a great discipline to exercise our mind so that we leave no room for those things that allow us to be who and what does not honor God. He has called us to be holy. He has called us to be representatives of Him. The things that we allow in our life through our television watching, through our reading, through the people we associate with, through this, through that, whatever, all of those things begin to have an effect on us. We must discipline how we think. We must discipline what's in our mind and only allow those things of God and those things that will be helpful to Him and spreading the Word unto others. Those are the things we need in our life. Are we disciplined in what we say? You've heard me talk about this quite a few times. But it bears repeating what we say. What comes out of our mouth is important. The words that come out of our mouth is important. We need tremendous discipline as it pertains to what we talk about, how we talk, what we say. Because words have a powerful, powerful effect on those around us. You can lift someone up, you can encourage someone, or you can tear them down and destroy them just with a few words. The human emotion is very, very fragile as it pertains to such things. Greater examples come from, you know, domestic things and abusive situations, and we hear words and the impact they have on people's lives. The child that's told, you'll never be anything. You're no good. You're this, you're that. Those things are horrible. How we use our words to represent the Lord. How we talk to one another, how we encourage one another, lift up one another, takes great discipline. We really need to be wary of that. We need moral discipline. Now, we're living in a world of compromise. I think we can all agree on that. We're living in a world that says, do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. That's what's being told. That's what's around us. But we have to stand apart from that. We have to be opposite of that. We must be separated from that. Because if you can take everything in your life and you can put it all in one bag and you can shake it up and then look inside and not be able to see anything different, there's a problem. We're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to stand out. We need discipline in our spiritual lives so that we can gain self-control. Self-control. We need that. It says in the book of Galatians, let me read this for you. In chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Then this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that takes discipline. That takes tremendous discipline. And the words go on. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do things that you would do. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. That's patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now these things that are revealed to us here, the adulteries and the idolatries and the drunkenness and the murders and all these things, all of these things have one thing in common. All they're all different actions. They're all a choice. We don't have to do any of those. It takes discipline to do the things God has called us to. He's saying, be opposite of that. That's what everybody else is doing, if you will. That's what's going on around you in the world. How can we be seen as different if we don't stand apart from those things? He's saying the things that reveal of me, the fruit of the Spirit here is love. Love. Joy. That's why Jesus said, I came to give you my joy, that your joy might be full. He's saying these things to us here. We think about that. Peace, long-suffering, having patience with gentleness, goodness, faith. Think of those things as they are displayed from our life. They make a much smoother run. They allow us to show something different in our life. But it takes tremendous discipline to allow the leading of the Holy Spirit. To allow Him to be in the driver's seat instead of us. We got to move over, folks. We have to if we're going to run this race and run it well. If we're going to bring others along with us. Using Him, allowing Him to give us instruction. Allowing Him to give us sound judgment. Allowing us to be temperate in all things. It helps us to become disciplined. Because if He's in charge, then I'm not. Because when I'm in charge, I want to do it my way. That's the way it works. But as long as I'm not doing it my way, and I'm allowing Him to show me what to do, as hard as it is sometimes, as hard as He has to twist our arm sometimes, this is the key in our run. And it has to be, it must be in place if we plan on winning. It's got to be. You know, when Paul talks about when his life is ending, he says, I ran my race and I ran it well. That's not easy for none of us. But it's important that we understand that. We need discipline in our life to do it God's way. The second thing we need is direction. Do you know where you're going? Isn't that important? If you're on the way somewhere, isn't it important to know how to get there? Isn't it important to know what you're doing instead of driving around aimlessly and trying to find it, refusing to ask for directions? I don't know if any of you would ever do that, but wives, don't say a word. No, I'm just kidding. We look at this though, and we need direction. Paul says in Philippians 3, in verse 13 and 14, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." In other words, I hadn't made it yet, but this is the one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything about this passage is about going forward. Nothing in this is about going backwards. In fact, he says, "I've forgotten those things that are behind me. I'm going forward. I'm reaching forth for the things that are before ahead." In every single race, whether it's an automobile race, a horse race, a foot race, whatever the case may be, the finish line is only located in one place: before you, ahead of you, if you will. It's always in front. We cannot ever win by looking back. I proved that when I was about 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old. I can't remember that far back, but I know it was somewhere in that range. Me and about 4 or 5 other young boys were running and having a foot race and on the farm where my grandparents lived. And my grandfather was a logger. Amen, Brother James? But he had this trailer sitting on the edge of his driveway filled with these massive trees that he had brought down. And they're sitting there waiting to go off to the paperwood plant. And so, oh boy, we're running along. We're having this foot race. Well, I'm winning. Man, I was fast as lightning back then. Or I thought so. And anyhow, I looked back to see how good I was doing. And when I turned around, there was one of those trees right there, busted my head wide open. You can't win by looking back, let me tell you. But here we understand, Paul is saying, I can't say that I've apprehended. He said, I can't tell you that I've made it yet. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you the one thing that I do. The one thing that I am doing is forgetting those things which are behind. He's saying to us, and this is something I've had to learn, and this is something we all need to learn. We have to learn to leave the past in the past. Because it will never ever allow us to go forward if we don't. We must forget old wrongs. We must forget old wounds because they will bring nothing positive to my life. They hinder my race, if anything else. They keep me from my goal. It's like having a weight tied to your foot and you're trying to run, but yet still you're having to drag one leg. They're keeping me from the finish line. They're holding me back. I have to let them go. I got to reach forward. I got to reach forward to the things that are ahead of me. Only the things that are ahead of me. Jesus stood on the water as he walked out to the boat and he called Peter. And as long as he watched him, as long as he looked at who was ahead of him, he could walk on water. The minute he looked down or the minute he looked back at the boat and said, "Hey guys, how am I doing?" Right down. It's over. He's saying to us, look ahead. And the race with the batons, if you've ever seen a relay race, the runner that is waiting, he's crouched, he's waiting for that one. And the one that comes with the baton, he reaches back and he reaches forward. He reaches forward and he takes that baton so that that race can keep going, so it can continue to progress, advance, and his team can get closer to the finish line. That's how they keep going. He grabs it and keeps going. He reaches forth to that thing that is before him, the thing that is ahead of him. He grabs it and he keeps going. We as believers, we need forward direction. We can't go backwards. We got to go forward. We got to look to the days ahead. We must seize every opportunity that we have to serve. We need to stretch forward. We need to reach out and grab with anticipation the good things that are ahead of us. And there are many. There are many. If we look for them, we will find them. The Lord says, "Seek, and ye shall find." They are there. We must be able and be willing to reach forward. We need to welcome new challenges and meet them with assurance that God will see me through. You see, when new things come, when change comes, sometimes we resist that. Sometimes we don't like that. There was a woman one time at a yard sale, and she bought a little cross-stitched little picture, and it said, "Prayer changes things." Well, she brought it home. She really liked it. She set it up on the wall. And her husband came in, and she said, "Did you notice what I got today?" He was like, "Yeah, that's fine." So she went to work the next day and came back, and it was gone. So she asked him, she said, "Have you seen my thing?" He was like, "Oh, I don't know." And she looked over, and it had down on the floor behind the television. So she said, "Maybe it fell." So this went on for 2 or 3 days. And she finally asked him, she says, "Are you taking this down?" He was like, "Yeah." She said, "Do you have a problem with prayer?" He said, "No, I just don't like change." So we have to think about that. That's what's wrong sometimes. And that's how sometimes we get stuck in a rut. That's how sometimes we get stuck in a hole. We don't want to get out of it because we've found our little comfort zone. And we don't want to change that. But God is saying, all your greatest days are ahead of you. The greatest thing ever happened so that we could keep going forward, not backwards. It's very, very important that we understand that. God will see us through. So we need to press toward the mark. We need to keep going. Because if we stop, then what happens? Nothing. Nothing. If we stop running, the finish line will not come to us. It is not going to move. It is going to stay right where it's at. It is not going to come to us because we decided to quit. We as believers face just as much, if not more, anguish and strife in life than anyone else. Most people that are really dealing with all kinds of things in life, certain circumstances, what have you, this and that, bad choices, whatever brings it their way. We have those things come because we choose to be different. We choose to be in the right direction. We choose to have discipline. We choose not to be of the world. We choose to do it the way the Lord says. But if we quit, the finish line doesn't move. It's still up there. We still have to get to it. We still got to go. We got to press toward the mark. That's what Paul was saying. We must press toward the mark. In other words, don't quit. Don't quit. Even if you can only take one step at a time, that's still progress. Don't quit. We have to make the best of our time. This also relates to discipline, but it also relates to direction. We have to make the best of our time. If you're in a race and you're running, and then all of a sudden you decide to stop, look around and talk to the fellows on the sidelines and maybe change your socks or just lollygag around. Do whatever you're doing. Fix your hair. Some of us wouldn't have that problem, but amen, Brother Cliff. But whatever the case, in other words, wasting a bunch of time, what's going to happen? The other people are going to pass you by. They're going to pass you by. They're going to keep going, and you've made no progress whatsoever. When it comes to serving the Lord, we must use our time wisely. We must use our time wisely. He's only asked a little bit of us, but he's asking that we do it differently. We should live for the glory of God. We should live for that. We should live and let him shine in every part of our life. When we see believers, and all of us have a day here and there that things aren't so good, and maybe we don't feel well, or maybe we've had some adversities or what have you in our life. But the Bible says, when you do things, do all things for the glory of God, right? So we have to try to find something good in that. You heard me preach some time back, finding the positive in the negative. But when we have downtrodden believers and everything, they bring everybody else down too. Oh God, nothing's going to go right. Everything's negative, everything's positive. And we don't get anywhere with that. God does not want us to do that. We should live for His glory. We should live for the light and in the light of His return. We should live with expectation. And, oh, Lord, I don't know why this journey is so hard. I don't know why on my run I'm stepping on a lot of pebbles and my feet are hurting. But praise God, I live for the promise that you said it's only going to be for a while. You said you would come back. We need to live for that. Not with the expectation that we get up in the morning and say, well, this is probably going to be the day for me. I'm out. We don't know that. But we live in the light of His return because we can live in His promise that one day He will deliver us. No matter how hard our journey may be, He will take us home one of these days. And He could show up at any minute. When runners run, they run with the expectation of winning. Or at least finishing the race. We see these large marathons sometimes in these big cities with 20, 30,000 people. And they're all going. Well, obviously only one could win. But the goal of all of those people is to at least cross the finish line. You know, at least cross the line. Even if they had to walk, if they had to crawl, if they had to wheel their wheelchair, whatever the case, they all have an expectation of finishing the race. The Lord has promised. He has promised every one of us that if we run for Him, we'll not only finish, but we win. We win. Read the last chapter of the book. We win. You know? And we know this in advance, but we still have to make the journey. We still have to make the journey. It was back like when I was wrestling. I knew if I was going to win or not. But I still had to go do the match, right? I still had to go entertain the people who paid their money to come and see us out there. God is not telling us to quit. He's saying go and go well. Run hard. Show people me. We need discipline. We need direction. But we also need to be dressed for the race. You're thinking, now, so I need me some of them bright neon, you know, orange shorts. No, no. That's not what we're talking about. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Key words here. Every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay? Now, there's a couple of things. Let us lay aside every weight. Very important. Let us run with patience. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's a long journey. Sometimes it's not just a shoot across the parking lot to Safeway. Sometimes it's a long one. Sometimes it's a big one. Sometimes it's hard. But he says, run that race with patience that is set before us. And he says, looking unto Jesus. There's our incentive. There's our encourager. He's saying to us, if we're looking at Him, He's saying, come on. Come on. You can do it. Keep coming. He is the author and finisher of our faith. It says, who for the joy that was set before Him, not because of what He was going to do, that wasn't joyful. What was joyful to Him was what was set before Him, that was me and you. And it said, because of that joy, He endured the cross. That is what we need to see. If we've got a goal in front of us, a finish line, if you will, a prize, some type of incentive before us, we have no better one than Jesus. He is the example. He is, as this says, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul, it writes here and says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, if you've ever seen a runner, a jogger, whatever the case, they are always dressed lightly for a reason. They have a purpose for that. They don't want anything to slow them down. They don't want a heavy jacket. They don't want a heavy vest. They don't want steel-toed tennis shoes. No, they don't want anything heavy. They don't want anything that catches the wind. They want and they need the freedom to run as swift as possible so they can have a greater possibility of finishing what they started in the quickest way possible. A weight as something extra that we don't need to carry around that can hinder our progress. Now that's in our life that I'm talking about. The run that we're in life. A weight is something that we don't need. Something we don't need. Something that will slow us down. It could be something like worry. It could be doubt. It can be stress. It can be hard-heartedness. It can be unforgiveness. It can be a negative attitude about everything. It can be fear. Fear is crippling. It doesn't allow you to go anywhere. All of these extra weights will hinder our race that the Lord has said is set before us. It's there. And if we're going to run it, we need to get rid of anything that's going to keep us from making it. We must lay aside every weight that drains us or stops us, whatever it is. We are in this race, and we should desire to do our very, very best. So in order to do that, we need discipline. We need direction. And we must remove, put aside, cast off, whatever you want to call it, anything that keeps us from being able to run. So again, my question is, how's your run going? How's your run going? Think about that this morning. Are you disciplined? Or are you just barely making it? Are you disciplined? Or are you just barely making it? Are you going in the right direction? Are you going forward? Or are you constantly looking back? Because whatever's back there, it's there for a reason. Leave it there. Leave it. I tell many, many people, and you maybe even heard me say it, there's a reason the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. Go this way. You look up every now and then and it reminds you of what's back there. And you know that it's there. But you keep going this way, and it'll keep getting further and further and further behind. What are you carrying with you today? Is it heavy? Is it heavy? Is it slowing you down? If so, get rid of it. You don't need it. You don't need it. Get rid of it. Remember the promise of Jesus. His reward will make every effort that we make, every single effort that we make, it'll make it worth it. It'll be worthwhile. It will be so worth it when we stand before Him, when we finished our race, and we hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I can't say much more than that. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for a day we could worship you. Thank you for a day, Lord, we could lift you up. Thank you, Lord, for this race that is set before us. It's not always easy, and sometimes we want to quit. Sometimes our joints hurt. Sometimes our feet hurt. Sometimes our heart hurts. But Lord, we come before you today and we're asking, Lord, for your clear direction. We're asking you, Lord, to help us become disciplined. Help us to dress, Lord, appropriately for this race that is set before us. Let us lay aside these weights that we carry, Lord. And we all have one. May we come forward today, Lord, whether it's in our hearts, whether it's physically, Lord, before this altar, and lay those things before you. Lord, as that song said earlier, not at your legs, but at your feet, and leave them there. Turn and walk away and don't look back. And move forward in a positive and forward direction, Lord, that will lead us ultimately to you when the time has come. Lord, I just dedicate and give you this time of invitation. I pray that every word that is said, Lord, and has been said would touch hearts. I pray, Lord, that if someone here today does not know you, has not had this assurance of this promise that you have given, that if we ask Christ into our hearts, we can be forgiven of all the things behind us, Lord, all the sin that has so easily beset us, Lord, everything that has gotten in our way, that we can be forgiven of those things, given a clean slate, and put on the right direction to run the race, Lord, for you. And if there's someone here today that doesn't know that, hasn't secured that, hasn't asked Christ into their heart, I pray, Lord, today, right where they're sitting, Lord, they would just say, "Lord, forgive me. I know I've not lived for you. Please show me my way. Show me the direction. Come into my life, Jesus, and be my Savior." And I ask it in His name. If you say that and you mean it, God will change your life forever. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will finish the race and you will finish it well. For all those others that maybe just need a word of encouragement, need a prayer, just need an encouraging word or a fresh touch, may today they know this time of invitation, Lord, is between you and them. Whether they do it there, whether they do it at the altar, you know their hearts. So we give this time to you. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.